Thank you, Lord, for Rhema Bible Training Center. You see, who are these people that get up and give the offering? Well, they've been to Rhema. They know the written word. They don't just know the written word. They have a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ through the person of the Holy Spirit. And their lives have been changed, and they are strong, and they are more than conquerors. Thank you, Lord. And they're right here in Samoa and in the Pacific. Well, the ushers are in the aisle right now. We're going to begin again on our series called More Than Conquering. If you would like to follow along with a paper Bible, they are still in style. I still prefer my paper Bible. I can write on it. I can highlight. I can do things. Paper Bible is always there for me. Praise the Lord. We have English and Samoan. If you can turn that in at the end of the night so we can use them again, we would be very happy about that. Well, thank you. Good to see so many of you. I know we have a big crowd tonight. The overflow room is full in the second year classroom directly below us. I saw that the kids were winning over in the, we got a ton of kids over in the 9 to 13 year old age group. I asked Pastor Henselite how we did last week. He's like, it was wild, but we did great. Those are your kids or your relatives, praise the Lord. Well, did you come tonight to hear from the Lord? Do you know, we don't come to church just to check in and say we did it. And we shouldn't come to church with the attitude of, when is it going to be over so I can go home, right? That's doing it for some other reason. That's maybe doing it for just the works. Yeah, I did my good thing. I went to church, checked the box. No. We're here to get something from the Lord. We're not here just to check the box that we attended. We're here because we believe God can speak to us, and God can train us, and God can show us how to win. The title for tonight is Get Up, You're Winning. Or we could say it this way, You're Winning, Get Up. You're Winning, Get Up. We've been talking through the last about 6 or 7 sessions. Our title, our subject matter is More Than Conquering. And everybody loves to read those scriptures. We're more than conquerors. He always causes us to triumph. But I see a pattern in the Word of God in terms of the people that actually more than conquered. There's a victory process where God spoke to them. They were in their 911 situation. They were in a life or death situation. They were faced with a battle that they did not know how to win on their own. They cried out to the Lord. The Lord answered them. They were able to hear the Lord when the Lord answered. Now, there's a lot of people in today's day and age, Christians, that don't believe that God will talk to you. They don't believe that God will answer your prayer. They don't believe that when you have a 911 situation, that God can get you the answer immediately, show you what to do, show you how to win. Well, he used to do that in the Old Testament. Would you agree? Don't we have a new and a better covenant based on new and better promises? So when I see Moses saying, the Egyptian army is coming after us, we're backed up against the Red Sea, Lord, help us. And immediately the Lord responded. Not 10 weeks later. Not whatever happens, happens. Not wait and see and whatever the final outcome in, that was the answer. No, the Lord answered immediately and said, why are you crying to me? Hold your rod out over the water. Tell the people to move forward. That's a born of God answer. 1 John 5:4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory. And I've added that word process. I believe the Lord will allow me to do that. This is the victory process that overcomes the world, even our faith. And I know we quote that scripture. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Yeah, what does that mean? There's a victory process. And if you don't know what it is, you'll just think everything is up to God. You don't have to do anything. And whatever happens, happens and is automatically the will of God. No, there's a victory process to overcoming the world. It's you praying, God hearing and answering immediately. You being developed enough spiritually that when God, who is a spirit, speaks to your spirit, you can hear him when he speaks. You can understand that it's him. You also know that it is him. And what happens? Faith comes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hebrews 11:1 also says, this is the substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen physically yet, but you're seeing it in your spirit. The Amplified Version says, the things that you're seeing, they're not revealed to your senses yet, but you've got solid proof. Solid proof that when I hold my rod out over the water, God's going to do something. He's going to save us. Why? Because I'm seeing on the inside before it happens on the outside. And that's the foundation that our faith rests on. What are you talking about? You being able to hear God when he speaks to you. This is the victory process that overcomes the world. We've also been talking about Ephesians 1, verse 17 and 18. Paul said that the Lord, Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you a spirit of not knowing anything, a spirit of stupidity, a spirit of ignorance, totally not knowing what's happening spiritually at all, being the stupidest Christian in the world. Is that what Paul prayed? You wouldn't know what you're doing. You can't see anything. You never hear an answered prayer. You don't know God. You don't know what it really means to be spiritual. You have no idea. You're always walking in darkness. Is that what he prayed for us? No. That he may give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. When God speaks to me, I hear him. I don't hear him with my physical ears. I don't see him with my physical eyes, but I hear him with the eyes of my heart, the hidden man of the heart, the inward man. Though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. Ephesians 2:18 says, for through him we have both access by one spirit unto the Father. I have access to God. How? My spirit to his spirit. His spirit to my spirit. Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? No one and nothing. Shall tribulation? No. Shall distress? No. Persecution? No. Famine? Are you sure about your... You guys... Famine? No. Oh, okay. I just want to make sure. Nakedness? No, not that. Oh, no, we're going to, even if we're down to just one lava. Peril or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors all by ourselves because we've got such great ideas and we know how to handle every emergency situation all by ourselves, so we don't even know how to pray or know what to pray or need to pray. I got this. No, you don't. If you want to more than conquer like Moses did, not one sword drawn, no blood spilled on our side, nobody even engaged the enemy, but the entire Egyptian army was drowned in the Red Sea. I don't know about you guys, but that is a perfect definition of more than conquering. Zechariah 4:6 says, not by power, not by might, not by my power, not by my might, not by my ideas. Remember, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. There's a victory process. What is that again? You have a big problem. You pray and ask God, how do I win? Help me, Lord. He tells you what to do. He gives you a victory plan. He gives you a solution to more than conqueror. What more than conquer what you're looking at right now. It's from his spirit to your spirit. I know I've been saying this for the last 7 weeks. The Lord just keep telling them. Keep telling them how to win. Repeated revelation will bring results in your life. Repeated revelation will bring results in your life. So not by power, nor by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And we know that verse as well. One of the top 10 Bible verses in all of history. Not by power, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Sekia. Straight, no more. One another. Ah. But no, can you tell me what that really means? Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. What's the definition of this verse? What's the actual operation that we're talking about? We're talking about you having a big problem and you don't have the intelligence or the ability to solve it yourself. But you can go to the throne of grace and receive help in the time of need. One of the biggest issues that I find that in the teaching that we've given is we don't teach Christians that God will answer their prayer immediately. Find grace to help in the time of need. Right now, he'll tell you what to do. Right now, you'll get your born of God answer. Not born of me, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. By your spirit what? By my spirit, showing you how to win, telling you what to do, you being at a place of development spiritually that you can hear God's voice when he talks to you. This is the victory process that overcomes the world. Our faith in what the Spirit of God says to us in all the seasons of our life. This is how we're going to win. Your help won't come from your own strength or your own power. No, your help will come by my spirit. By my spirit, what? We'll say it again one more time. By my spirit telling you what to do to win. He told Moses, hold your rod out over the water. He heard that. He believed that. He did that. And God moved. Same thing with Joshua. I see a pattern in the Old Testament. I want you to march around the city one time for 6 days and then seven times on the seventh day. Blow the trumpets and shout. That was a born of God battle plan. That was not born of man. That was born of God. This is the way we find victory here. This is the way we more than conquer. We've been also using David as an example at Ziklag. Everyone wants to kill him. They cried until they couldn't cry anymore. All their wives and kids, all their stuff is gone. David encouraged himself in the Lord. He inquired of the Lord. He prayed, and the Lord answered him. I know it's hard to believe that the Lord answered him. No, we see a pattern of the Lord answering human beings when they ask him a question and telling them how to win. Did I tell you that the title is You're Winning, Get Up? Yes. You're winning, get up. Thank you, Lord. So, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit. Lord, should I go chase after these bad guys that just took everything I own? Yes. Go up at once. Overtake and recover all. That's a born of God answer. Are you at a place that when you ask God a question, when you pray, that you're able to hear his answer? Or do you even wait around to hear his answer? Because he will answer you. Call upon me and I will not answer you, and I will not show you anything, and you're just on your own. Is that what the scripture says? No, call upon me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you know not. Then finally, 2 Corinthians 2 and 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge. Oh, he's got knowledge for me? By us in every place. I like the way the GLT says it, but thanks be to God who is always leading us in triumph. He's showing us how to win. 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 Are you at a place of development spiritually? That when God speaks to your heart, his spirit, to your spirit, that you can receive your victory instructions. Because there's battles that you could be winning, that you're losing. God wants you to win, but there's battles that you're losing, that you could be winning if you could be at a place spiritually where you can receive your born of God answers, your born of God instructions. But thanks be to God, he always is leading us in triumph in Christ. Every great thing that has ever happened in my life is when I heard or saw something from God. He told me what to do. I heard it. I saw it. I acted on it. And it came to pass. You see, faith sees. Faith is not blind. Faith sees. Faith hears. Faith knows. We spent the last 2 weeks talking about as soon as your spirit is born again, your spirit's ears and your spirit's eyes come back online, and that gives you the ability to function spiritually. You can hear things in the spirit, and you can see things in the spirit. I'm going to stop right there because I want to make sure that we teach this real solid, and you don't go out of here wanting to hear voices, and you sit in your room all by yourself and try to see a vision or try to see an angel, try to see this or try to hear this. The object of these lessons are for you to grow very solid and very stable. It would be a big mistake for you to sit in a room all by yourself and try to hear a voice. You know what you need to do to grow spiritually? This right here. The Bible is God speaking to me. I've never heard God speak to me, Pastor. What does it sound like? It sounds just like this. There's so much in here. There's two ways in how to be led by the Holy Spirit class here at Rhema. If you ever get the chance to come to Rhema, come to Rhema. Oh my goodness. The two main ways that the Lord will lead us is by his written word. Oh my. This right here is forever settled in heaven. It is a sure foundation. It will never pass away. We base what we believe about God on this right here. And the second way that the Lord will speak to us is by his Holy Spirit. This is the general plan for our life, but we can get specific instructions from God by his Holy Spirit. You see, there's nowhere in this book that says go to Samoa and start a Bible school. I wish there was. But there's go into all the world and preach the gospel, right? The general plan, the general will of God is in the written word. But how do I know what to do for me? What does God want me to do? The specific plan for my life, I get that from the Holy Spirit. The Samoa may. And that's how we came to Samoa. Brother Dunnick heard Samoa Mae, just two words on the inside of his heart, and that was it. There was no 65-million-page documentation of what's going to happen and how you're going to live and where you're going. No, it was just Samoa Mae. Samoa Mae Tapu. We didn't know what tapu meant, so we just threw it out. But we knew what Samoa Mae meant. We knew what that meant. Some things are read, but other things are led. Other things you have to pick up specifics, God's spirit to your spirit. So your eyes are on and your ears are on of your spirit. And just like your physical eyes and your physical ears, they're always on. Today I was laying in my bed just meditating, waiting for the meeting tonight. And somebody had their music on loud and the bass. Doom, 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 doom. At that point, I wished I could turn my physical ears off. Do you ever have that problem? They're always working. They never stop. They never stop working. So in order for me to not hear physically, I would have to physically close my ears. And the same thing with my eyeballs, my physical eyeballs. Thank God for eyelids, right? Thank God that we can shut it down, shut it down. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that. Usually in the morning, ladies, do you really take a good look? Some of us do. Your sense of sight is always working. Physical sight, always working. And in order to not see, you have to physically shut your eyelids. So the sense is it's still working behind your eyeballs. You're looking at the back of your eyelids. But it just blocks out a lot of stuff. Do you know when it's a really sunny day and you close your eyes, it's orange? Why? Because your eyeballs back there are... they're looking through the blood vessels of your eyeballs and your eyelids. And in the same way, I believe God's trying to get something through to you. A lot of people think that God will just turn on and off your ears and eyes on the inside, and I'll only be able to see things if God wants me to see things, or I'll only be able to hear things if God wants me to hear something from him. No, your ears and your eyes came up online when you received Jesus. You were born again, and your spirit is alive. And the first way, we've just been hammering this, I'll say it every week. Maybe you say, Pastor, the Lord never talks to me. Really? I've never heard him say one thing to me, like go pull that man out of a wheelchair or go raise that person from the dead at the funeral. I've never heard the Lord say anything like that to me. You've never heard one thing on the inside? Yeah, I've never heard. You, really? You've never sensed one thing on the inside of your spirit since you've been born again? Like when you go to take the money off your mom's dresser? And your hand starts to reach towards it, and then on the inside you hear, somebody call 911! Your spirit says, don't you do that. Deyai, awa, sasa, bow, psh. You've never heard your spirit say anything to you? No, I've never heard my spirit. I've never had a spiritual transaction in my life. God never talks to me. Well, there is that verse that I just love, Romans 8, verse 1. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Most people stop right there. But there's more to that verse. Who walk not according to the flesh, but they walk after the Spirit. They do what their spirit leads them to do. And then verse number two gives you the definition of what's happening. For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, has set me free from the law of sin. What is this law of Spirit of life? It sounds so mystical. It means this: you have the divine nature of God in your spirit now. You've been remade, and you have the same nature that God does. And every time you go to sin, every time, just like gravity, if I run out and throw myself over the railing, what will happen to me? I will go down. It's a law. I will never go up. It's a physical law. There's a spiritual law that's operating in a born-again Christian. Every time you go to sin, your spirit will stop you. Now, a lot of people run the red light or run the stop sign. But don't you tell me that God isn't talking to me and God isn't saying anything to me and I'm not functioning spiritually at all. Down a little bit further in this passage, it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 16, His Spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. So all of you that are born again Christians, now this does not work in someone that is not a born again Christian. They go to take the money, there's nothing on the inside that's stopping them. But for a born again Christian, the law of the Spirit of life, every time you go to do something that would be considered sin, your own spirit will stop you. Congratulations, you just heard from your spirit. I don't know about my... You know about your spirit. We all know about our spirit. We usually tell our spirit to shut up quite a few times during the day. Your spirit will say, don't do it. Don't do it. And then God's spirit will bear witness with your spirit. That's right, you're a child of God. You're not in that other family anymore. Don't do it. He never talks to me, Pastor. I never hear anything. No, you're hearing that. Does everyone hear that? Does everyone have that transaction going on the inside? Let me see your hands. Raise your hand in front of everyone here in Samoa and so all the angels and the Lord can see you. Does everyone have that going on the inside? So you are operating spiritually. Because that's not a natural transaction. That's a transaction that actually, if someone was standing next to you, they would have no idea that was happening on the inside of you. That's your spirit. That's God's spirit. And the Lord said this: pay attention to His voice at that level. Pay attention to His voice at that level, and you will graduate to hearing His voice at greater and greater and greater levels. Well, I need my victory instructions right now. Well, how do you start? How do I develop to the place where I've got a need right now and I need an answer? Pay attention to what you are hearing from God right now. Pay attention to the no's, even though we all don't like to be corrected. Pay attention to the no's. Yield to the no's. Stop yourself. Listen to God at that level. Like Mark chapter 4 says, to him that has ears to hear, let him hear. The measure that you hear is the measure that you'll harvest at. And to him that hears shall more be given to hear. Most Christians tell the Holy Spirit and their own spirit, their own conscience, to shut up. Don't, I'm not listening to you. And they close their eyes on the inside and they close their ears on the inside and they pretend, I'm not hearing anything from my spirit and I'm not hearing anything from God. God never talks to me. No, He's talking. We use the example of so many times we might get into our car and the radio is actually on, but the volume is turned down so low that you can't hear the music playing. The way we want to grow is to make it so that our spirit is the loudest voice in our life, not the quietest voice in our life. So many of us, our body is the loudest voice in our life, or our intellect is the loudest voice in our life. But we want to change that way of operating, so being led by the Spirit, our spirit and God's spirit in my spirit is the loudest voice in our life. So I just paused here, because when it comes to hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, we want to grow stable. We want to be solid. I don't want to produce people that are off. Do you understand what I mean? We want to grow stable, and we want to grow solid. We want what we're doing to be based on the written word of God. We want it to be real, solid growth, so that we're truly hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit and not in error. So I say this, if you want to grow spiritually, when you hear your conscience tell you no, that's a spiritual transaction. And you hear the Holy Spirit say, that's right, don't do it. Listen to that. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of God's word. If you'll listen to the nose, the lei, awa, sasa, then he can talk to you about some other things. Solid growth, solid development. So read the word of God. Read the word of God. Pray in the Holy Spirit. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues, pray in the Holy Spirit. That is a wonderful spiritual activity. You know, your mind is not involved with this. If a man prays in an unknown tongue, he speaks to God, and his mind, his intellect is unfruitful. Howbeit, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. If you want to isolate your spirit, pray in other tongues. That will strengthen your spirit. That will bring your spirit to the forefront of your life. So faith sees. Okay. There's no such thing in Christianity, there's no such thing as hearing voices. We're not talking about hearing voices. The only other person that you will ever hear on the inside of your heart is the Lord. One spirit. He's a comforter. He's a counselor. He's a helper. He's a standby. He's a strengthener. He's an advocate. And he's an intercessor. The sevenfold meaning of the word comforter. You're not going to be hearing, I don't want to hear voices. No, you're not. It's him. God's spirit comes to live in your spirit. And he is the only other voice you will ever hear on the inside of you. There's you, your spirit, the voice of your spirit, and then there's the voice of the Holy Spirit. And he's called the Spirit of Truth. He's a guide. He will lead you. He will show you what to do. He will help you. He will comfort you. So faith sees. Faith hears. Faith knows. The process to more than conquering, or the process to always triumphing, involves being able to hear God when he's trying to answer your prayer, trying to show you what to do. Many have come to believe that faith is a state of praying and not getting an answer and still not knowing what to do. Many have come to believe, and many Christians all over the world believe, that faith is a state of praying, not getting an answer, still not knowing what to do, and they call this faith, just blind faith. I'm sorry, faith is not blind. Was Moses blind when he held his rod out over the water? No, he heard that, and he saw that on the inside. was Joshua blind when they marched around Jericho?
I don't know what we're doing, and I don't know what's going to happen.
No, he knew before the battle that they had already won. And he knew that the walls of the city were going to come down and that they were going to walk over on flat land. He saw that before the battle because the Lord told him that personally. And he was able to hear that. And faith comes by hearing. So when he said, okay, everybody, get the Ark of the Covenant. We're going to go across the river and we're going to take Jericho. Was he saying, I have no idea what's going to happen. I don't know how we're going to win this battle. It's just blind, blind faith. I haven't seen anything from God. I haven't heard anything from God. No, he saw and he heard and he knows they're going to win. They can already do their celebratory dance. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Let me say that again. Many have come to believe that the state of praying and not getting an answer and still not knowing what to do is faith, when in fact it is not. I'm sorry. When the fact is not having God's word about your situation is still a state of walking in darkness. I was never trained how to receive answers from God. I never was until I went to Rhema. I thought this state of never knowing what to do after I prayed was somehow faith. I thought faith was this unconfident state of not knowing anything from God, not seeing anything from God, but just trusting that somehow I'm going to be okay because I just prayed a prayer. I don't see that pattern in the Bible, do you? Have you read your Bible? Did you see that God answered their prayers and they were able to hear him? And when they did what he said, they won? Now, this is the victory process that overcomes the world. That kind of belief system is completely opposite of what Hebrews 11 in verse 1 says. Hebrews 11, 1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Not seen in the physical. So don't be confused. You're not seeing it physically, but there's solid evidence in the written word, but also in your heart that you will see and know. This is what faith rests upon. So what was Moses' faith resting upon when he held his rod out over the water? His faith was resting upon God's word. What specifically? Why are you crying out to me? Hold your rod out over the water. God's spoken word. His faith was resting on that foundation. Faith has a foundation. We are not seeing it physical yet, but we're seeing it on the inside before it happens. So don't confuse blind faith. Faith isn't blind. There's solid evidence. There's information. There's facts revealed to you from God's spirit to your spirit. Solid answers are possible on the heart level. God's spirit to your spirit. Get used to seeing things first on the inside before you see them physically on the outside. I was listening to a Brother Moore's video down in third year today, and Miss Phyllis got up and quoted Mark 16, I believe the last verse there, that says, and they went out and they preached, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs and wonders following. And just like that, as soon as she said that verse, the Holy Spirit said into my spirit, he said, I will always say it before you see it physically. I will always say it before you see it physically. And isn't that how he created the world? Was light there? Just, no, he said it, and then we saw it. Remember Abraham, he came and said, Abraham, I have made you the father of many nations. And Romans chapter 4 talks about the Lord. He says, he calls things that be not as though they were. The Lord will always say it before you see it. He will always show you and tell you before you see it physically. Faith is a confident state of being able to see at a higher level, God's level. But when it comes to the things of the Spirit, we see things with our hearts before we see things with our physical eyes. The just shall live this way, by faith, by seeing it on the inside and hearing it on the inside before you see it on the outside. Simeon knew by the Spirit that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. His physical eyes saw the Messiah for the first time in the temple that day when Mary and Joseph brought him in. And he said, now that I've held him in my arms, now that I've seen him, I can depart in peace. Now that I've held him in my arms, my life can come to an end. Let your servant now depart in peace, for I've seen your salvation and the glory of your people, Israel. He's seeing it for the first time physically, right? But this man had been seeing it for years on the inside. But someday I'm going to see the Messiah. Why? God told him, you're not going to die until you see my salvation. God told him before he saw it physically. God told his spirit. He was able to hear it. He was able to see it. He was able to believe it. And then when he finally saw it physically, well, come on, he'd been seeing it for years on the inside. He was in faith for years. So faith is not blind. It has a foundation, the written word, the inspired preached word, and the word that the Holy Spirit will share with your spirit personally about your situation. All these three agree, the written word, the spoken word, the preached word, and the Holy Spirit speaking to your spirit. All three agree and cause faith to come and be possible. Did you know it is not possible to believe in nothing? Faith comes by hearing something from God, not by hearing nothing from God. It's not possible to believe in nothing. Don't leave your prayer times without an answer from God. Expect him to tell you what to do. Expect answers to prayer. Expect a relationship with God on earth. Jeremiah 33 and 3, we talked about it already. Call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not. So what in the world would make multitudes of Christians think that it is normal to get up from your prayers and still not know what to do, still not have an answer of any kind, still not have any light? Most Christians, you understand, they think it's normal to get up from asking God for help, asking God for a way up or a way out or a solution. They think it's absolutely normal to get up from talking to God with no answer. And they call that faith. And they say faith is blind. It is not. Faith sees, faith hears, and faith knows. In the natural, if you ask a person a direct question and they ignore you and don't answer you, that is considered so rude. Hi, how are you today? How are you? You good? Oh, that was normal, wasn't it? He answered me when I asked him a question. George, don't answer me. How are you? That's weird. Right? If you're talking to someone and you ask them a question and they don't answer you, then I say, oh, he's so mysterious. Just like the Lord, he never answers your questions. He never answers your prayers. He never tells you what to do. He's just, the Lord works in mysterious ways. That is not a Bible verse. And you just never know. That is 1 Imaginations 12:9. That is not in there. So when you ask a person in the natural a question and they don't answer you, we consider that very rude and very weird. So why do we think God does that to us every time we pray? No answer. No response. No victory plan. No way up. No way out. The silent treatment. Do you know there can be no faith if God has given you the silent treatment here and the silent treatment when you pray? There can be no faith if you've gotten the silent treatment. If God has given you the silent treatment, faith can't come. No, I expect crystal clear answers. I expect to receive direction in my heart. I expect him to answer me when I ask. And we studied last week that answers are freely given. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 says that God will give us hidden wisdom. His spirit to my spirit. His spirit will reveal things to my spirit. Thank you, Lord. All these things, an inward witness, a still small voice, a step to take, peace to follow. I've got peace about doing that. Assurance, confidence, all these things are spiritually discerned, not intellectually discerned or physically discerned. Get used to seeing answers on the inside of your heart. Get used to having things revealed to you by the Spirit of God. It is these inside answers that cause faith to be possible. When God speaks to you, faith comes by hearing. You getting a divine preview of your answer before your eyes see it manifest physically in the natural. Hold your rod out over the water. March around the city 7 times. Go up at once. Pursue. Overtake. Recover all. These men are seeing the future perfectly before it happens. They're not blind. They're seeing on the inside. This is the victory process. The victory is being previewed to them before it happens physically. They can have confidence when they hold their hand out over the water. They can have confidence as they march around the city. They can have confidence as they mount their horses and chase after the bad guys. You can have confidence too. Confidence comes when God speaks to me. Assurance comes. Faith comes. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So faith sees. Faith hears. Faith knows. Answers come from God before they manifest in the physical realm. Faith allows, triggers, activates the things that are promised in the spirit, causes them to manifest in the physical. Now, this is called a spiritual transaction. What's a spiritual transaction? You pray. God answers from his spirit to your spirit. You're developed enough spiritually to hear that answer, to receive it, to understand it, but also to believe it. Believe it to the point that you step out on it. And when you step out on it, when you do what he says, when you say what he says, then it manifests in the physical realm. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Then spoke Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, shall not be in a condition of, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to win this. I don't know what we're going to do. That's not how we operate. We can get direct answers from God to win every time. Thank you, Lord. They're freely given. And my ears and eyes are always on. And if I obey the small things that I hear and see, I'll be able to see and hear more. I want to end tonight by telling a story about my personal life. And it illustrates perfectly what we just talked about. There was a time in my life when Brother Dunnick was still alive, that we enjoyed such a wonderful, really a powerful time here in Samoa, but the time came where we got a very bad report and that he had 6 months to live. And we fought for his life for 2 years, and so many of us here were involved in that. But we didn't get the result that we were believing for. And Brother Dunnick, I believe, decided to pass on over to heaven. And I'll pick the story up with just hours after he passed away. Now, the last 2 years had been probably the worst years of my life. It was a living hell. He was full assist. Many of the employees know here, the staff that was there with us, but there was not 1 minute of the day that we didn't try to keep him alive, keep him breathing, turn him on the bed all night long, lift him, carry him, feed him, shower him. And for about a year, I did it all by myself. And my neck was out, my wrists were bruised. I was very, very strong, but at the same time, it was wearing on me physically. And then the staff came to help us. And it was that way. 2 hours to shower him, another hour to dress him, an hour to feed him. And an hour to move him. I remember one time we were at Brother Moore and Miss Phyllis's house, and I was trying to take him outside. Now, I'm sorry, I didn't know I'd be so emotional about this. I was trying to take him outside, and I was basically carrying him, and he slipped and just went right down, and I couldn't lift him up. I couldn't get him back up. And so we sat there on the floor, and half of them was inside and half of them was outside. And we sat there for 3 hours. It was Sunday morning, and Brother Moore and Miss Phyllis were preaching. And and when they came home, I said, he fell down and I couldn't pick him up. I'm not strong enough to do that. And so Brother Moore just picked him up and I put him in the chair. But life was like that for 2 years. And finally, Brother Dunnick went over to be with the Lord, and I'm very happy for him. But then you're left here on earth, and you don't know why this just happened to you. You don't have any idea why your husband has passed, such a good man, such a righteous man, such a beautiful person, such integrity, such character. And I remember just hours after he passed, I was laying on the floor of the bedroom, and I was so tired, physically. And as I was laying there on the floor, crying, almost too tired to cry, the verse from Corinthians, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? And it goes on to say, now thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. That those verses were going, that's the written word, right? The written word was just stirring around and around and around and around in my heart. I heard it. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, always causes us to triumph. Thank you, Lord. The written word is going around on the inside of me, but I'm still crying on the floor. And as I was laying there, I heard another voice. I heard the Holy Spirit say, you're winning. Get up. Just like that. The written word is going on. I'm hearing it on the inside of my spirit. But then I heard the Holy Spirit say, you're winning. Get up. When it looked like I had just lost everything, when it looked like my life would never be the same, when it looked like I wouldn't even have a life, when it looked like I didn't know how we're going to make it financially, when it looked like I don't know how I'm going to raise the kids alone, when it looked like everything that my life was just destroyed. And I heard the spoken word. I heard him in addition to the written word, which we always stand on. We always believe. We always are firm on the written word. But in addition to the written word, I heard my Father by the Holy Ghost say, you're winning, get up. And I remember my face was in the carpet. And I was remembering everything that we had been through. I remembered when Brother Dunick came to pick me up at the airport in Branson. And he handed me the keys. And he could barely lift them. He said, could you drive? I can't drive anymore. And he's crying. Can you tie my shoes? I can't tie my shoes anymore. Can you buckle my belt? I can't buckle my belt. I'm remembering all of this. And he said, I'm winning. Get up. Yeah, he said, you're winning. Get up. No matter what you've been through, no matter how hard it's been, no matter what the past is, you're winning. Get up. And I turned my head, because I was flat down. I turned my head, and based on the written word, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Thanks be to the Lord, gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, based on the written word, the foundation of the written word, and the foundation of the spoken word. I turned my head, tears in my eyes, no strength in my body. And I said, I'm winning. I'm winning. I'm winning. And I got up. I got up. And I never went back down again. How did you get that victory? This is the victory process that'll cause you to go through a living hell on earth. I don't know who's here tonight, but there's certain people that are supposed to be here. Certain things that you're going through right now. Maybe you lost a child in the measles. Maybe your heart is broken over that. Do you know what the Lord will say to you tonight? You're winning. Get up. Get up. You're winning. Get up. You're winning. Get up. Maybe you've been through disappointment after disappointment. So many of us, as human beings, we set these unrealistic goals for our life, and we fall so far below what we dreamed that we would be at this age or at this time in my life, and I thought this, and I thought this, and I thought this, and I thought I would be this by now, and I thought I would have this much money by now, and I thought I would be married by now, and I thought this by now. And when we look at our lives, we tend to go to a place of darkness and stay there. If that's you tonight, you're winning. Get up from your place of darkness. Get up from your place of depression. Get up. Get up. You're winning. Get up. How did that victory process happen? I don't consider myself the world's greatest Christian. Maybe you consider yourself the world's greatest. I don't consider myself a Bible scholar or anything, but I have, since the time I was a little girl, I have wanted God in my life. I have wanted a relationship with him. And in my darkest hour, the day that Brother Dunnick passed, and praise God, my future has been so bright. I have a wonderful husband now, second chance at life and things like that. But on this day, I don't know where I would be if I couldn't hear your winning. Get up. Because that's the same thing that, really the same kind of a transaction when God said to Moses, hold your rod out over the water. March around the city. Go up at once, overtake, recover all. You're winning. And God whispered that in my spirit. And it wasn't this loud thing that anyone else heard. But just based on being able to hear him when he spoke to me. I remember at 19 or 18, I said, Lord, I won't really want to know you. I want to hear your voice, but no one's ever taught me how. I want to know you. And I sensed that he loved me. And that was the beginning. And I had enough smarts to know the same way I sense that he loved me is the same way I'm going to sense the next thing. The same way he talked to me there and I saw something, I heard something. It wasn't physical. But I received something in my spirit from him. The same way that happened is the same way it's going to happen next time and the next time and the next time. And I hope to get to know God at such a great level that I can talk to him and hear him. And I'm not talking about being a weirdo. And I never am. But God wants to tell you tonight, those of you that are here with a broken heart, you're winning. Get up. When I heard him say, you're winning, get up. Faith came to what? To get up. That means you've got a life out in front of you. That means the future is bright. That means there's still more for you. That means there's still life for you. That means there's still love for you. That means the kids are going to do great. That means get up. I've got a plan for you. Why don't we all get up right now? Thank you, Lord. You're winning. Get up. Thank you, Lord. I particularly have it in my heart, and I know it sounds very cliche, and that there's people here with either completely broken hearts or parts of you that are shattered. And praise God, the Lord is the only being that can mend a broken heart. And it begins, of course, if you've never accepted the Lord as your Savior, if you've never asked him to be a part of your life, do that right now. Let's lift our hands together and say, Father, Thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending the answers in one person, Jesus Christ. I accept him into my heart. Mend my heart. Heal my heart. Thank you, Lord. Forgive me of my sin. Lord, you are mine. And I am yours. And I will live with you forever. Thank you, Lord. 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 Here in the dark, but I'm never alone. No, I'm never alone. All by myself, but I'm never alone. No, I'm never alone. Here in the dark. I know you guys smile when you're around people, but you can see the broken heart in someone's eyes. And when you're alone, you know, get up. You're winning. Get up. All by myself, but I'm never alone. No, I'm never alone. I could climb the highest mountain or dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, but I'm never alone. No, I'm never alone. 'Cause the God of all gods, yes, the King of all kings, hey, the Lord of all lords, he's right here with you right now, right here, and right now. He'll heal your body right here and right now. He'll make a way right here and right now. He is your answer right here and right now. Yep, he's the way. Yeah, the God of all gods, hey, the King of all kings, hey, the Lord of all lords, right here with you right now. So the Lord says, you're winning. Get up. You're winning. Get up. You're winning. It might look like you've been through some things, and we all have. But this is the victory that overcomes the world. It's a process. even our faith in what he's saying to us. Tonight he's saying, you're winning, get up. No more sad days, no more down days. And I would encourage you, we don't talk about it much, but if you're thinking about ending your life, no, you're winning. Get up. Stand up. Come on, we got a job to do in the Pacific. We got to reach these other islands. Come on, you're winning. Get up. Get up, get up, get up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Just let His Spirit speak to you. You're winning. Get up. No matter what you've been through, no matter how you feel, if God can get that message to me, and it caused me to stand up and never go back down, never go back down, never go back down. Unbreakable, unbeatable, unstoppable. Thank you, Lord. You're winning. Get up. Pastor Kiki, can you sing that song, I Win? Just let this song minister to you and sing this song to yourself. Thank you.
I win my battles have been won. I win before they've begun. I win if God.
Process that overcomes the world. You see how important it is to listen to God in the little things, hear His voice, pay attention to His voice, let the Spirit be the loudest voice in your life, because that's the place we win from. That's where we get our victory instructions. There I was standing on the written word. But then the spoken word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Well, His presence is here. If you need healing in your body, go ahead and take it right now. I believe in the power of God. Thank you, Lord. Does anyone have anything else? Do you have something, Pastor Janie? Go ahead, hon.
You are precious to me. You, yes, you. You are precious to me.
Thanks.
You are beautiful. to me. Every part of you is beautiful to me. I created you in my image. You are beautiful to me. You are handsome to me. If you could only see what I see when I look at you. Every detail about you matters to me. Even the little things that you think I don't think about, I think about it. You matter to me. You are precious to me, and you are beautiful to me. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Anyone else? Thank you, Father, for your precious written holy word. Thank you, Lord, that it's your will for us to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, the eyes of our understanding, being enlightened, that we might know you, we might hear you, we might see what is the hope of our calling. We thank you, Lord, that we can receive born of God instructions. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. We thank you that we have access by one Spirit to the Father. We thank you that all of our prayers can be answered in the general Word of God that we stand on, but also specifically. We thank you that you're able to cause harvests to come into our lives. Thank you, Lord, that nothing can separate us from you. Not tribulation, not persecution, not famine, not peril, not sword. No, in all these things, we more than conquer through you. You give us victory instructions for all the problems that we have in our lives. We thank you that it's not by our might or our power, but by your Spirit showing us how to win. And that's how we more than conquer. We get results that are more than humanly possible because we are your sheep. We know your voice, the voice of a stranger. We will not follow. And finally, we thank you that it's you, Lord Jesus, that's always leading us in triumph, leading us in victory. And that's the process. Lord, we pray and we continue to ask that you open the eyes of our understanding. Help us to hear you every time. Help us to see you trying to get answers to us every time. We are winning and we are coming up in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Boy, I've got something in my heart that we're not quite done. I'm sorry, I don't like to be like the world record longest church services. You understand? Is there someone here that you'd specifically like to come up and have hands laid on you today? And we don't necessarily have to say why, but if you say, Lord, I really need someone to pray for me tonight. If that's you, just slip out. That's good. Someone else? Thank you, Lord. There's someone else. Thank you, Father. Is it for healing, hon, or something else? Father, we thank you. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your love. We lay hands on you in obedience to the head of the church. You said believers would lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And even broken hearts will be mended. Thank you, Lord, for complete restoration, spirit, soul, and body. You're winning. Get up. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You know what? You're winning. It's you. You're winning. Father, in Jesus' name, complete restoration, brand new life. Thank you, Lord. You're winning. Get up. Get up. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'll write some things down for you. He doesn't want anyone else to hear it, but it's personal for you. All good. Thank you, Lord. It's good to have you guys here tonight. You're winning. Get up. God wants more for you. God has a big dream for you. Big dream. Big plans. Don't underestimate what He wants to do through you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Long life satisfied. Long life satisfied. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Well, I believe I have a release. Oh, thank you, Lord. God bless you, hon. You're winning every arena of life. Get up. Is it for you? You come for prayer for you? Yeah, okay. Father, we thank you. Lord, you know everything about her. You know her rising up, her setting down. You know when she's sleeping, when she's awake. Lord, you love her. You care about her life. Be renewed. Be restored. Thank you, Lord, for healing. Thank you for peace. Thank you for strength. Thank you for joy. Thank you, Lord, that you fill her right now. And that she would know that you're always there. You're always there for her. Always there. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. If you need to go, you can slip out now. If you need to go, you can slip out now. I'm not sure when the Lord will be done. And like I said, I'm not interested in having the world's longest services. But if He's not quite done and you have to go, you can go. Thank you, Lord. Does anyone have anything? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else want to come forward for hands laid on you? Anyone else want to come forward for prayer? You're winning. Get up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. All right. Praise God. George, would you come? Would you pray for him? Thank you, Father. Ramasu, pray. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up and stay up. Thank you, Lord. Strength. Peace. Assurance. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You know, I said to you that the reason I'm here today and anything great that's ever happened to me is because I was able to hear God answer me when I had urgent prayer and horrible things happen in my life. Just that your winning, get up, that saved everything about my life. That was a major, major day in my life that I was able to just hear that. And I don't know if we would be here if I I wasn't able to hear your winning get up. I don't know if the school would still be going. I don't know if the ship would be here. I'm pretty sure maybe no, and that there wouldn't be a Rhema in Fiji and a Rhema in Vanuatu. It matters who you are, and God has things for you to do. Like Pastor Jenny said, by the Lord, you're precious. You have a part. He needs you here. Don't discount yourself. Don't say, I'm nobody, I'm nothing, I'm not going to... No, you're winning. Get up. God has things for you to do. Thank you, Lord. Well, I believe we can close now. Father, we thank you again and again. You know every person that's here. And I pray, Lord, even if they didn't come up, but tonight in their bed where they lay down, maybe they're on the floor of the folly, maybe they have a bed, maybe they're outside. Lord, talk to them. Confirm your word. Tell them again and again, you're winning, get up. You're winning, get up. You're winning, get up and stay up. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Please join us on Sunday at 10 a.m. We're starting a new series called The Spirit of a Man. And I believe it will go very well with what we're talking about here. Please join us for some fellowship. Go get your kids. Don't forget you brought them. We love you, and we'll see you soon. Car wash tomorrow. God bless you, and good night.